Hello there, this is Liz and Joe from Equi Coaching, and these are the Find Your Balance podcast. This is episode 15, called Yoga, Meditation and Altruism. Oh my, do you get that?
I do.
Everyone's seen The Wizard of Oz, right?
Not necessarily.
Yoga, meditation and altruism. Oh my.
Now I get it.
I thought so. You see, it's all in how you deliver it.
Oh gosh, is it? Okay.
So I think it speaks for itself what today's podcast is about. So it's been a little bit of a while since we've done one.
Like, yeah, as for many people, I think it's everything's a little bit out of kilter. It's all a little bit throw things up in the air and see where they land.
Yes.
We've been
working hard, yeah. And we've got lots of ideas in the pipeline.
But we're sorry we haven't been around as much as we would have liked to have been.
Yeah, we've been helping people, and we've been doing some schemes to help people in the NHS, and we started a scheme recently to help people in our industry, which is media. But that's going well. And so today we thought we'd do something a little bit different. What were we doing, Joe?
Well, today we're going to be talking to one of our very oldest, dearest friends, because we wanted to take these podcasts up a notch and start to raise the quality by basically getting somebody else involved, so you don't have to listen to our voices for the next half an hour. So we thought that every once in a while we're going to introduce a guest to the podcast who can talk about, you know, when anything that's related to,
yeah, it's inspirational,
yeah, and inspiring, balance, you know,
and some book
doing
authors,
good,
yeah, yeah, we're gonna have some, but there's all gonna have the relevance of being inspiring.
That's what I was about to say before you interrupted me.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, you interrupted me. Anyway, anyway, our good friend Vaughan Dagnall, who we've known for over 20 years, has set up an initiative called Flip Your Dog for Mental Health, which is basically where people can go to yoga classes, and the money that they pay to go to that class, rather than going to the yoga teacher or the company that runs the class, goes to a mental health charity, which is a fantastic idea, a very simple idea.
Yes, but it marries two of our favourite things.
It does.
Which is helping yourself and helping others.
Yes.
And both these things are obviously very good for your mental health, so that's why we're promoting it. So without further ado, I think we'll go straight ahead, because it's a 25-minute interview.
Yeah, it is.
It's very interesting. Please have a listen, and if you can get involved, then please do, because I think it's a great scheme. But here's the interview. Hi, Vaughan. Thanks for joining us. This is our podcast. This is podcast episode...
Oh, we've done too many to mention now, to be fair.
We can't remember.
About 15?
I think it's 15.
15, yeah, 15.
And you are actually our first guest.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
We feel a little bit like we should be like Morecambe and Wise or Ant and Dec, and like, yeah, introducing Vaughan Dagnall.
Then I'll just have some kind of smoke machine, some doors open, and I go walking down the studio that's empty.
Imagine that in your head.
With masks on.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm feeling good.
So Vaughan is a friend of ours who we've actually known for a very long time, and we thought we'd ask you to come on today and talk about a new project that you're working on and some interesting things that we are sort of into as well, meditation and yoga, which I think will help people a lot at the moment, given everything's still going on. How have you been coping, Vaughan?
Up and down. I came back to England after 7 years in Australia for some quite significant family issues. There's a family member with a brain tumour, and there's some quite heavy stuff going on in life. So then the pandemic hit, as well as Brexit. So, you know, a nice light-hearted jaunt back in England, you know.
That's why we brought you on.
Hey, there you go. And time for an ad break. Vaughan, stop talking about. It's been really challenging, the pandemic, but also really rewarding. And I've kind of gone through a slightly euphoric, oh my God, disruption, let's just reimagine our lives kind of phase. And I've also gone through a few lows, which I think is pretty par for the course, to be honest.
Yeah.
And
out of that has come this amazing thing that you're doing. So tell us a little bit about it. It's called A Flip Your Dog for Mental Health. And it's an important week, week as well, isn't it?
Well, at the moment, for those people listening, if I'm not sure when this actually gets broadcast, but between the 7th and the 13th of October is Homelessness Awareness Week. Now, Flip Your Dog for Mental Health, in a nutshell, is a fundraising enterprise, or rather initiative, rather, that uses, I guess, offers yoga and meditation classes where the people taking part, the money that they would normally pay for a class goes to charity. And that in a nutshell is what it's about.
That's such a simple idea in when you look at it, when you talk about it, you're like, it's such a simple way of everybody getting something out of it. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I mean, as you guys know, over the years I've been into yoga and meditation. There's a kind of bit of a hippie side to me, I guess. And I've never really hid that away. It's something I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. And then when I got back to England, just before lockdown, actually, I'd started doing a yoga teacher training course, which I'm really excited about, and I just re-embarked on again. And then the pandemic hit, things slowed down. And I was doing a kind of a change-making course, Theory U, it's called. Check it out. Really, really interesting stuff.
People couldn't see the little dance you were doing then, by the way. Which I'm
the little jiggy-jiggy stuff, wobbling my head around.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about being in the moment, isn't it? And anyway, just this notion, we're within all the disruption, there is so much opportunity for us to think about the way that economies and communities support one another. And so just thinking about what we can do in our everyday lives that helps us, but also helps other people and helps the community around us. Love and it. I don't quite know how the stars lined up, but I kind of had a thought, and it was a passing thought that I decided not to let pass. I thought, hello, I quite like you. I'd like to explore what you're about. And I spoke to a few yoga teachers and learned how to build a website, and basically went headfirst into creating an event for Mental Health Awareness Week, which was in May. And so that's when it all started. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So what is it you think that works about yoga and doing good things for other people that sort of co-aligns? Is that right,
Caroline? I think Caroline.
It's a word. It's a word.
It is
two
now.
Words, actually. Co and align.
Language is alive. I love that. It's such a beautiful thing, you know.
It certainly is in our podcast.
It's alive and sometimes needed to be deep. No, so what is it that lines up? Well, yoga is so much about well-being, and it's really a deep meditation on getting to know oneself and kind of almost finding a flow of your own energy. There's obviously the physical practice, which are called the asanas, the I guess the more dynamic, you know, kind of standing in triangle pose or balancing in tree pose or dog pose, head down. But within that, there's the breath work, the pranayama, which is about the deep breath work. And you're using your bandhas, these energy locks within your body, to work on your kundalini. But it's all about kind of just getting in flow. And I think that it's not a big leap of imagination. We start talking about our connection and our the way that our energy affects other people around us. And I think that within everyone who's practicing yoga, they're kind of looking for some calm and clarity and kind of energy flow within themselves, but they sharing that with the broader community is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, exactly. And I think that you kind of presenting that option to people, you know, it's an invitation. There's no obligation here, you know, but if you can do what you're doing to take care of your own well-being, your own physical and mental health, and at the same time, you know, some of the money that you're paying for your class goes to charities that are taking care of vulnerable communities around the country who need mental health support. Why would you not?
Yeah.
I love that thought process. And also it really fits well, I think, with what's going on at the moment, where I think I think because people have been in lockdown, they've been stuck in their areas a bit more. So perhaps having to work with their communities to get food and supplies to people, and just some people needing that communication with other people just to feel like they're in touch. And I think it's been a very important thing. So hopefully a lot of people at the moment who are trying to find ways to cope with everything that's going on will look to things like yoga and meditation, which we always promote. That was very interesting about yoga, actually, because I think people who haven't done it before would probably be interested listening to what you've just said about the breath and being in flow. I think that would encourage people to have a go.
But equally, like, you know, I've done mindfulness courses and practiced mindfulness a lot, and you know, those meditation, mindfulness and yoga are so intertwined, but yet there are plenty of people that might well be doing practicing mindfulness but don't necessarily practice yoga, or practice yoga and don't, you know, practice mindfulness, or, and it's about, you know, having people either introduced or understanding that effectively those three work, there's a synergy to all of them together, really. What would you say about how that synergy works between meditating, mindfulness and yoga?
Well, I think kind of, I guess a lot of people look at yoga and say it's not for me. I prefer going to the gym. I prefer jogging. You know, I prefer dancing. There's a crossover of so many things that people find happiness through, or find contentment, or find they somehow tune out the distractions of the world. A lot of people can be quite highly strung because they're trying to fit so many really good things into their lives. That classic thing of, I've got 10 minutes. Oh, I'm going to have a really good time with my friends, but I've only got half an hour because after that, I'm going to go and be a really high achieving basket weaver or something. but I think what's at the core of all of those things is finding a space where, I think the breath is the thing that links them all. The meditation, what was the other thing you said, Joe? I forgot. Meditation, yoga and mindfulness. Yeah. I think mindfulness is a bit of a wonderful umbrella beneath which so many other things do do
sit. It's about being in the moment, isn't it? And yeah. I would imagine it's hard to do yoga and not be in the moment while you're doing it.
Well, often it's like with anything, like if you're cooking a meal and you're slightly distracted, you might burn the spuds. You know, if you're doing yoga and you're slightly distracted, you probably won't get as much out of it, but you still eat the meal. You still do the yoga. You still feel nourished at the end of it. Yeah. But I think that the more you practice, like, I mean, let's use the metaphor of cooking, I've gone there. The more you practice cooking, the better you are at cooking, the better your meals. You start exploring different recipes and techniques. The same with yoga. But at the base of it, and now the metaphor of cooking doesn't really work. the meditation, mindfulness,
skip to and another yoga, metaphor if you like.
Yeah, skipping metaphors. I think the breath. What I find amazing, but for example, yoga, and I'm only learning this on my yoga teacher training course at the moment. Yoga was originally like not. It was just a sitting down breath work meditation. It was all about just breathing. And being at one with yourself and just centering yourself and controlling the energy, the breath through your body with some very quite basic breathing techniques that would essentially give you this stimulation, this connection with your energy, and would allow you to really, I guess, operate at your optimum level.
Yeah.
And then there was a point, which I won't get into the history of it because I can't recite it properly now. My yoga instructor would be like, how dare you, blasphemy, get down and give me 100 dog pose head down.
Yoga punishment.
I know, yeah, yoga punishment. So I'm sure that's a new class that's available soon. But the physical practice is something that has kind of almost been created to make it more accessible. And I think in the modern world, the physical practice is often seen as a way to engage and warm up the body, stimulate the body. And then when you kind of feel you've had that invigorating experience, then you're ready to calm down and slow down. And they say, like, corpse pose at the end of a lot of yoga practices, you lie down on your back and you just lie there. And often that's one of the most rewarding parts of yoga. Yeah, a lot of people say that that's the point of yoga. Like, everything else beforehand was leading up to that. And it's at that point that your body's feeling the benefits of what you've just done. And it's like this deep healing process where that's where the work happens, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think going back to, you mentioned briefly about, like, somebody going, you know, going to the gym and that's their thing, that's what they've decided, rightly or wrongly, for them is their release, that going and pumping weights or running on the treadmill for half an hour or whatever it is, at some point during that session at the gym, you are going to be in a state of mindfulness. You're going to be in a state of being in the present. So however you get that is fine. Yoga, meditation, mindfulness is one way of doing that. But people will have their own ways of finding that point where you become more in the present and more focused in whatever way that might be. It's different for different people. But I think it's, but especially for the Western world, it's quite hard for people to move away from something that's not so much results based, you know. So like, if you're going to the gym and you're saying, well, okay, you know, I want to be able to run half an hour non-stop or whatever it might be, or you know, push a certain amount of weights or whatever, you know, there's a results thing going on there. And I think then something like, as you're talking about the beginnings of yoga, not necessarily having the physical element of it, because that was introduced partly, I don't know, that makes it easier for people to sort of connect with, because it feels like, you know, the more that you practice yoga, the more supple you become, you know, the it helps your body physically, and you can start to see and feel a transition and results. And I feel that something like yoga is harder for people to maybe understand, because they come so much from a results based, you know, way of growing up. So once you start doing that and you understand the real sort of idea behind yoga and breathing and being in the present and all those things, the results element of it almost falls away for me. So I sort of think that however you get your ways of being in the present, being focused, being in the moment is absolutely fine. But I think it's really good to be able to explore for those people, for something like this, where you're doing good by being good. It's a great way of exploring another part of getting results, but in a different way, if that makes sense.
I'm not sure.
I mean, no. Like, when you say, are you referring to the as in the flip your dog mechanism, like that?
Yeah,
and give that almost the result.
Yeah, because you're not necessarily seeing an end result, you know, but you know that you're out of it. The result is that you're getting physically something out of it, mentally something out of it, but from a heartwarming point of view, where you're also doing good, that is also something that is an instant thing as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like to do things where they see the results, and with yoga, we're very resistant to doing things that help us mentally because we don't see the results. And and also sometimes, you know, it's, to begin yoga isn't that difficult, I'm presuming, to say. But I mean, you can begin with a few poses. You know, I speak to a lot of people, they say, I want to do yoga, as if it's like this thing that they can't start at home on their own. Or, you know, you're giving people a perfect opportunity to do some courses or classes and begin. So talking about that
was really what I was saying, but you just said it in about one sentence.
Yes, which is unusual because it's normally the other way around.
I could vouch for that, folks.
Did you know that altruism has been linked to physiological changes in the brain? We've talked about this before.
Altruism, which
is linked with happiness and self-esteem, and it actually like changes brain waves. I remember I did a course at Berkeley
No, she went to the bank. She went to get a tenner out.
Yeah. I went to Barclays.
I went to Barclays and they told me altruism. Somebody told me that. Somebody was asking for money. They at Berkeley, I did the Science of Happiness course, and it turned out the two things that make us the happiest are altruism and community.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I really couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, altruism, let's face it, for me, compassion is one of the key elements to being, like, being in a position where you are engaging in a compassionate way with life. You're experiencing compassion and the receiving and giving a compassionate consideration for oneself and other people. That for me is at the heart of actually being a satisfied soul, for being a human who feels content within oneself. There's so much we can do in life, but I think without that, there's a huge part missing. And I think that altruism obviously ticks that box in a very big way. And within my own journey recently with the Flip Your Dog stuff, for example, there's no shadow of a doubt that during lockdown and with the various, you know, life situations I'm going through, that the idea of this, and then it's become a bit of a lifesaver, that's the wrong word I'm looking for, but, you know, it's become a thing that's given me that positive energy. And I've been actually really aware that I need to monitor the ego attached to the work I'm doing there, because I feel like I have found a real groove, that there's something that matches up with my ethics, my morality, and there's also a community that I feel quite excited about joining.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really important to acknowledge that, A, this could only happen without the hugely generous teachers and yoga studios, because essentially they are donating their time. You know, during our Homelessness Awareness Week campaign and during our mental health campaign, which in a space of 2.5 days, one day rather, we raised 2.5 grand, folks, just so you know, which we felt rather good about. That that's not from ego, that's just being excited. But,
I think,
but
you can be pleased, they, but...
yeah, you can be satisfied, kind of. You can be basically, during the campaigns, instructors and teachers give an hour of their time, or basically their classes are, they don't earn any money, they give all the proceeds. Brilliant. But I think for any instructors or teachers out there who are interested in taking part, and I hope there are a few, basically during day-to-day existence, because we offer a schedule outside of campaigns as well, so we operate throughout the year. When we're not doing a campaign for a specific charity, we actually support 5 charities, all of whom have a mental health aspect to the work they do.
Yeah.
And but teachers and studios give a percentage of a class, you know, that they find something that's sustainable for them, because obviously they need to earn a living. Yes. You know, and it, you know, I don't want their time to be taken for granted at all, and I wouldn't. And it is, but I guess going back to the altruism and it being linked with this amazing, well, feeling good, it's kind of at the core of being human, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
Like consumerism and capitalism and chasing profit and doing better than the Joneses, not just keeping up with them, and you know, the treadmill of life that is so hard to keep up on.
Yes.
You know, and just jump on the property ladder or get a job, you know, university, whatever. Anyway, I think just at the bottom, at the heart of it, we're all humans, like being connected with community.
Yes.
We like being around people who support us and inspire us. That's our ideal community, people who we look up to, but also people who we enjoy spending time with and sharing with.
Yeah.
People we feel we can be vulnerable with and supported by.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys know, like, you've been there for me on numerous occasions, and we've got such a good bond. This is a community. It's really nice for us to talk about this in public, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then I guess altruism is maybe when you make it a thing. I don't know, what's the definition of altruism? Do we know?
Hello.
Certainly.
We'll have to Google that. Talk amongst yourselves. We'll Google that and find out.
Yeah. There are other search engines available, yes, by the way. I choose Ecosia because every time you do a search, they plant a tree.
That's nice.
Yeah. I like that. That's what I want Flip Your Dog to be. I want it to be one of those everyday things that you do on an everyday basis that you would do normally. But if you do a class through Flip Your Dog, not only are you doing what you normally do for yourself, you're also supporting the well-being of others.
Yeah.
It's like ethical banking on a yoga mat.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, altruism. Disinterested and selfless Disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others.
Disinterested
and selfless concern for the well-being of others. It's basically disinterested in yourself.
Oh, right, yes. I was like, if you're not interested in it, why are you doing it? But yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, maybe not the best wording, but we get the vibe.
It's that search engine's version of what it is.
Oh, that search engine.
It's not planting a tree.
I'll go plant one in the garden in a minute. Don't worry.
I feel dirty now. So what do you hope for the future of Flip Your Dog?
Yeah, you just mentioned about it becoming like almost like a habit in a way.
Less habit, more. I think I'd like it to be. I think we've got some cops passing, folks. They're not chasing me down. Just going past in the background. I'd like it to be, something that. Shall I just let this go past?
You can tell you've been in Australia because you say cops.
Yeah, the cops.
Oh my God, the cops are on a surfboard, and I turn into an American. That's probably my best Australian accent. I was there for 7 years and I can't even do an Australian accent.
Yeah, that's not good. How long? Five, 10, 8 years?
Seven years over there, yeah. So the future for Flip Your Dog, I'd like it very much to be something, one of those everyday things that people do, but by making people, at the moment, people are feeling very powerless. There's a lot of disruption, a lot of chaos, a lot of uncertainty in life. And I think that while obviously everyone's situation is unique and specific and we've all got challenges, there are ways in which we can make significant differences. And it's, decisions like where we spend our money, who we bank with, that's something that the majority of people have money in a bank. Who do you bank with? What's their ethical footprint? Recycling, all these things that are kind of almost becoming more and more part of the everyday vernacular of taking care of the planet. Those are decisions. And so I'd like the principle of Flip Your Dog for Mental Health is Flip Your Dog is a yoga move. It's doing the wild thing. But it's also Flip Your Dog isn't just a reference to yoga. It's about flipping the way you think about things, flipping the script, thinking more altruistically, being more compassionate. And so I'd like Flip Your Dog to be part of people's arsenal of things that they can do without any disruption to their day-to-day life that supports the well-being of society and community. Great. and then we're trying to become a charity. At the moment it's just me by myself running this, and all the money goes through Virgin Giving Money. I want to set up as a not-for-profit kind of charitable organization, so I'm exploring that. Again, anyone out there who wants to help do a startup, I am putting adverts out, but if you're listening to this, give me a shout. We are going to be doing an event in Australia in May 2021.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. And so I'd like this to be something that happens in different runs in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Australia will be the first one because I've got contacts there.
Yeah.
At the moment it's happening already. I've got people, yoga studios and yoga instructors getting in contact with me saying, hey,
that's great.
I've heard about what you're doing. I'd like to come on board. And that's giving people the opportunity for their compassionate side to have a platform.
Yeah.
Loads of people want to do good things, but sometimes they're too busy to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so it's about making it as easy as possible to do something good.
Yeah.
And
you're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean?
People want to do. Their nature is that they want to do good.
But sometimes they want people to provide them with the option to be able to do that, you know?
Do you think
you'll extend it beyond yoga and do other stuff, she says, thinking that they could do a workshop for you at some point?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yes. Well, at the moment, I mean, I've been talking about a yoga a lot, but it's actually, I think, yoga, meditation and mindfulness. So the work that you guys do is 100% in keeping with what the current movement, I guess, that Flip Your Dog is going through. And in actual fact, writing out the manifesto for if you want to become a charity, you need to write your kind of mission statement really, really specifically. Mm. But essentially, yoga and well-being and meditation is the first area.
Yeah.
Like, it, what Flip Your Dog is in broad brushstrokes, and I'll try and keep this simple, is essentially we identify businesses or activities, you know, such as yoga, where the action itself is good for the community and the customer.
Yeah.
Then we identify ways in which they can raise money for mental health charities.
Yeah, that's great.
And then we promote those events.
Yes.
And we create a positive loop of action, activity and delivery. Essentially, we create these positive loops. And yoga and well-being is a really obvious one, but I'm confident that with a bit of a bit of thinking, there's a lot of other areas this can work for as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting, Vaughan. Yeah, I have to say it's such a great idea. And and the timing of it is,
couldn't
you know, with what's going on, it couldn't be better. And I'm sure a lot of people are benefiting in all sorts of ways. How, tell us how people can get involved.
Oh, well, I mean, if we've got a website, www.flipyourdogformentalhealth.com. And I'm sure that'll be kind of on this podcast. And we've also, you can follow us on Instagram, which is flipyourdog_yoga for mental health. I believe there's a number 4 in there somewhere. If you go onto the website, you'll get linked through to that. And if you're a yoga student or someone who's curious about yoga, you can go on to the website and there's a schedule there, and we have classes pretty much 6, sometimes even 7 days a week. So, and you go on there, we've got a booking platform, so you kind of go through, get a profile and a booking thing, and then you can essentially go through and book those classes. The majority of the time, basically you book the class and then you go back to the website and make a donation for the amount you'd normally pay for a class. Studios, yoga studios and yoga teachers are coming on board. For example, Fierce Grace, who are one of the biggest, best known kind of large brand of heated yoga, they've come on board, and actually the founder, Michelle Panetta, is leading a deep core class on Tuesday, which is off the hook. But there's loads, there's so many amazing yoga instructors, the list is far too long to mention, who are coming on board and offering their time and their energy, and that is really important. And so if you are a teacher and you're a yoga studio and you'd like to get on board, then again, just give us a shout. And then we're just kind of identifying what's sustainable and what level of commitment and what level of support you can offer. And if nothing else, and it sounds really cheesy, but as a grassroots initiative trying to raise money for a really good cause, share.
Yeah.
I've had a baptism of fire with social media, and I'll tell you what, like, it can be further from doing your meditation and mindfulness, but
yes, please, absolutely, yeah.
Please share stuff. Like, if you like something and you like the idea of what the cause is about, and in this case raising funds for mental health work for vulnerable people around the country, please share. And actually, I should just maybe qualify the charities we're raising money for.
Yeah, well, I was gonna ask that actually.
So it's Centrepoint, who work with young homeless people. There's Family Action, who work with families on low to no incomes. There's Gingerbread, who work with single parent families, Refugee Council, who work with asylum seekers and refugees, and Mind, who we all know work supporting people with mental health needs around the country. at the moment, because we're not a charity, where funds are going through Virgin Giving Money, and you're only allowed to support 5 charities.
Right.
So I'm very aware, like, you know, it's there's issues around equality, and finding a charity that works in the area of mental health in areas of equality, and that area is something I'm exploring. And once we become a charity, we'll be able to expand and add that to the quota.
Brilliant.
That's really good.
We're big fans of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this darkness, that's a real shining light. So well done, Vaughan. Yeah.
Thanks, Vaughan. Anyway, thank you for joining us. And hopefully that's been interesting.
Yeah. And we'll give out the details and put various links and share as much as we can. As many people as possible get to know about it. So thanks very much, Vaughan, for coming on and talking to us.
Amazing to chat with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, really good. And we'll speak soon, and we'll keep in touch with any new things that happen, and let us know how Flip Your Dog is going moving forward.
Will do.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was our interview with Vaughan. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy, and he's got a lovely telephone voice.
He's not bad to look at either.
No, he's not.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
So go and have a look at him. His social media is all Flip Your Dog for Mental Health. And
The website's www.flipyourdogformentalhealth.com. Lots of details on there about how you can get involved, whether you are a punter who wants to take part to learn yoga and meditation and mindfulness. It's not just yoga, as Vaughan said. There are meditation and mindfulness classes on there as well. And something that Liz and I will also be getting involved in the future as well, to offer workshops and sessions as well. And also, don't forget, if you are a yoga teacher, or you teach mindfulness or meditation or anything that's connected with that, which could help mentally or physically with your health, then please also go to the website and offer your services and try and get involved. Well,
hopefully, yeah.
Anyway,
have a great month. And I've been told off for interrupting again.
You interrupted again.
I've messed with your flow. I should go and do some yoga.
Yeah, probably.
What do you want to say before I sign off? Now.
You flipped my dog, and I don't know where he's gone.
Well, the dog's just there, actually, funnily enough. He's definitely not flipping. He's pretty static.
Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us.
And I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll have a great month. And, you know, and have a go at some yoga. See you later.
Bye.